Welcome, everybody, to the So Says Chernoff Interview Archives. I'm Josh Chernoff, and this week's episode features an interview I did very recently with Double J, Jeff Jarrett. We covered a lot of interesting topics in this interview, so sit back, relax, and enjoy my interview with Double J, Jeff Jarrett. My guest at this time is a former Intercontinental Champion, former U.S. Champion, former NWA World Champion, former WCW World Champion. The list goes on and on from his Hall of Fame career, and now he can add podcaster to that list. From my world on adfreeshows.com, please welcome Jeff Jarrett. Jeff, thank you so much for being here.
Hello, my friend. I appreciate you having me on. Kind of feels like we've been in the family together for a while, but you're like one of those distant cousins or something like that. Or maybe I'm the distant one because I was for a while. But no, the Fight family, obviously I go way back with the guys to when it was Flips. So yep. I appreciate you having me on, Josh, and looking forward to chatting. And I guess I'm on your side of the stick now. I'm a broadcaster.
Who would have thought? You really are. And that's one of the things I want to congratulate you. Number one in Apple Podcasts, My World, in the wrestling section there. That's huge. I know Conrad likes to take the top 15 or 20 spots usually, but to jump to number one, I guess my first question is, how has this experience, now that you're a few weeks in with My World, how has it differed from what maybe your anticipation was? Because I'm assuming for you to sign up and say, hey, let's do this thing, you obviously had been sold in your mind, okay, this is going to be fun, this is going to be good, I'm looking forward to it. But how has it differed from maybe what your anticipation was going into it?
Good question, Josh. Really good.
Thank you.
You know, for me to sit here and let's go back 90 days from, you know, not really sold on it and not to be repetitive, but you know, what really, a couple of things pushed me over the edge. Conrad's persistence is one, but watching The Last Dance with Michael Jordan and then viewing podcasting as a true form of on-demand entertainment, then the business model. But I had no idea. I'm overwhelmed with the response of obviously the online chatter, but you mentioned number one, I'm very close with here in Nashville, the local sports talk station, and they've been all, you know, they've been after me. I don't know. It goes back 10 years. Hey man, why don't you be a guest host or something on the broadcasting side? No, never had any interest, but they're like, hey, we saw it came out and you're number four. When that blurb came out, I was number four in all of sports podcasting on iTunes.
It's huge.
That was like, wow, that's a surprise to me because over the last, we'll go back 12 months, I went from thinking nobody who could, you know, these are stories that I told in cars and planes and bus rides and they're old wrestling stories to, okay, now it's a business. It's all demand entertainment. And me and you right now, we're not talking about the pay-per-view coming up next week or next month or a match or whatever it may be. We're actually talking about a podcast, which is candidly a little surprising that here we are, Josh. You know, I'm 3 weeks in and we just recorded the fourth episode. And, you know, when I take in my 35-year career, you know, me and Conrad have chuckled a lot over the last week. Like, we're just scratching the surface. There's a lot of stories to tell. So I'm pretty happy, to say the least.
And I think a lot more stories than your average fan realized there would be. But one thing that I have gotten a kick out of, Conrad keeps tweeting these out. What is your reaction to the amount of people who are just like, oh, I despised Jeff Jarrett my entire life, and now he's my favorite podcast, and now I love him. It's talk about a backhanded compliment. What's your what's your response to that?
Oh, me and Conrad have chuckled, and I've made him. Conrad makes me laugh a lot. I've made him laugh and chuckle because I'm like the human mind. And look, I'm you know, we're all in this together. But right. It's amazing how people will tweet. But I get it. Like, I hated you. And I'm like, yeah, and you were supposed to, but we're a wrestling right. fan. And so this is all part of it. But now I like it. But growing up in this industry, Josh, it was something that, man, I got lucky. I got blessed. I all those because I got to see, I mean, like at a really young age that you know, I would pull up to venues with my dad, and then later me breaking into the business. So you pull up and the same guy that's wanting your autograph in the parking lot is the, and I'm a good guy, is the exact same guy sitting next to his girlfriend, dog cussing me an hour later or an hour before. It's just that human emotion. And that's how we're really all connected. I mean, right now, Josh, we're connected together because we're having a conversation. So there's human emotion and all to it. But, you know, I've made Conrad chuckle that what you just said. I said, man, that's a really good backhanded compliment. That, you know, just all the different phrasing. But I love it. It's really cool. It's really cool to see. But again, as a veteran, now I won't call myself an old timer, but however you want to call it is, knowing that I despised you, I hated you, I never thought much of you. You know, all those guitars, you know, whatever the quote unquote negative or derogatory or the one guy calls it a baby face turn. I love it because that's raw emotion. And it's again, great for me to hear because it is entertainment. But the podcast is real. It's authentic. I'm enjoying it. It's therapeutic in some ways. But man, it is definitely a form of on-demand entertainment that didn't exist several years ago. And now with podcast and, you know, Ric Flair doing a pop-up interview on ad-free shows and The Dark Side. And then, you know, the all-star cast of 5 Hall of Famers and Tony Schiavone and Bruce Prichard, the executive director. I mean, you just think of the lineup that Conrad has. It's cool. It's really impressive. I really am happy to be a part of the team.
So you mentioned just off the cuff, you talked about guitars. That kind of leads me to a question. I always love to ask people about their wrestling gear. And you're somebody who had such unique wrestling gear originally and very recognizable throughout the later part of your career, but originally with that neck collar and the straps going down. And maybe you've told this before, but I don't know, where did that look come from? How did you decide to go with something that was so, I mean, it was incredibly unique. How'd you come up with that?
So obviously I'm not 6'6", 280. So I'm not the body guy. You know, and I was, again, born and raised, obviously in the Tennessee area, but the Fabulous Ones, they had their look, the rock and roll, the King with the Crown, Bill Dundee, you know, I was raised with music entrances and pageantry, and although it was a weekly territory, but knowing that theatrics and flamboyant, and obviously as a kid watching Flair and the robes, so having a costume and a look, something unique. And, you know, Lawler had the strap here in Memphis. He always pulled the strap down. So, you know, okay, strap, but you can't really do a single strap, but just trying to create a look that would be unique, that would be different. You know, I wore short tights early in my career, then I went to long tights and just sort of an evolution of it. But getting into that, you know, what does Double J, the character, a country music flamboyant star, what does he need to wear? What would he wear? And that is where sort of the worlds really came together that Double J shouldn't wear boots and tights. He needs to have, you know, I had those boots that had light ups and they look like cowboy boots, but were they really like stage boots? So just trying to create a persona. And that's something that I've always done that. You got to have a good match and you got to be crisp and the work rate, and however you want to quantify it these days, it doesn't matter. Got to go out and be able to have a good match. But I only know that, and I was raised, this was really ingrained in me. That's only a piece of the puzzle. You've got to fill in selling tickets. You got to be able to get them back to come back next week. So all the psychology, the persona, the ring presence, that's all part of the unique outfits.
Obviously your career is intertwined with the late, great Owen Hart, one of my favorites of all time. Someone I had the opportunity to meet in early 1998. I have this great memory of him and my dad just talking about not wrestling at all, just standing there backstage having a conversation. Really nice guy. I'm going to ask you a question about your time with him that I'm sure no one has ever asked. His ring gear. When you guys were teaming for the bulk of your ring gear, or bulk of your time teaming together, he had that Danger yellow, and, you know, all that, which was always like, I'm like, this isn't, what is this? This isn't Owen Hart. Towards the end of you teaming together, he had switched to, you guys had more of the similar with the silver and he had the OH on there and had kind of adopted a new look. Did he ever talk about that ring gear? Was there ever any understanding of why he was still wearing it? Or was there ever any talk? People have talked about him being very frugal.
Huh. You jumped down the rabbit hole. You know, there's some legendary frugal stories that may or may not involve Macho Man Randy Savage, Mick Foley, an old timer by the name of Frank Hickey. There's some unique stories, but Owen probably had the most unique frugal stories because he did it without really noticing, because at the airports, all of a sudden he's got a ride. So he's not renting a car. Where are you staying at, Owen? Oh, I'm not sure yet. I hadn't checked in. When in reality, he was staying at a friend of a friend's house, Right. Whatever it may be. As a part of that, and, you know, him and Brett and others, but, you know, specifically Brett and Owen, in those days, lots of travel, but they're flying from Calgary to the States, wherever it may be. Right. So most of the time to connect to Toronto, they didn't want to check bags and have to go through immigration. So Owen would leave on a trip with one bag, like literally that's it, one bag. And so he didn't carry a lot of boots and tights. You know, I'd go on the road, be different. I'd have two pair of wrestling boots and four or five tights and, and a backup pair and street clothes here and workout clothes there. You know, Owen would literally travel with a carry-on, and I'm talking a 10-day run. So it's impressive. Is that not impressive, Josh?
That's incredibly impressive.
I mean, it's unbelievable. But so his tights, he went from Rocket Owen Hart. He didn't. So you're going to, I'm going a long way around. I'm not specifically have the story on the danger, but you know, there was a time when he was the Blue Blazer, and so those were the white and blue boots, and so he'd walk to the ring in black tights and with the yellow trim, but Blue Blazer boots. I'm like, Owen, aren't you sort of giving something away here? Oh no, they won't notice. Yeah, Owen, they do notice. But that was Owen. Oh man,
that's great. I wanted to talk to you about, you referred to yourself as, you know, not an old timer, but a veteran of the business, but others would say, you know, Hall of Famer or legend. I was very curious your opinion specifically about how legends are perceived in wrestling today in different places. WWE, I see them a lot as just being like, they're the way that you were when you came out and you had the match, you were presented as this legend who nobody thought Jeff Jarrett was back here for another run or anything. But TNA, on the other hand, they would take these guys who maybe WWE had said, okay, well, we've kind of run our course. They're now the legends. They're here to bring the next guys up. And they were in TNA seen as a top contender, much in the way you look at a guy like Christian Cage, who someone that you spent a lot of time with. But Christian Cage, now in AEW, is there, and he's not being viewed as, obviously being viewed as a legend, but not in that nostalgia act type of way. He's being viewed as he's a legend, he's a veteran, and he's here to work. What's your thought on that? I mean, I have to assume you, because of TNA and how legends were presented there, you have a certain view on it.
My mindset is, and you know, again, we are definitely a product of our environment. So as a young kid, Jackie Fargo was in his 50s and Waller was in his 30s and whatever it is, he was there. Yeah. He was portrayed as a veteran, but don't ever call him old. But I believe that we'll call it however you want to say it, veterans, Hall of Famers, nostalgia acts, whatever. We all bring a certain audience or a certain cachet, but nobody believes, and whether they like really believe it or not, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you're watching it for entertainment. I mean, Tom Brady, you know, it's the NFL. What a great example that he got the job done, and that's a true sport. But I believe people are turning in to view things, whether it's on demand or pay-per-view or television, whatever it is. I don't think they consciously say that's a nostalgia act or that's a veteran or that's it. Is I've always had the mindset is put them out there and let's roll. And at times I think you can, and I don't, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but I think you at times can miss the mark. You, Christian is the best example. Okay. He's wrestling this guy. When you're telling the story, it's the veteran against the, whether he's in his prime or a star, you know, rookie or whatever it is, I think it can lead to the story. But I think if you quote unquote put him out to pasture, I think at times you're like, wait a minute. I don't think he's out to pasture, but I see both sides of the coin, but I think there's more meat on the bone when you put everybody out on the stage. Let the fans decide. Truly let the fans decide. Nope. This guy's seen his, you know, he's not what he used to be. I mean, you could have, you could, I could give you, we could both give Michael Jordan played for the Washington Wizards. Nobody in their wildest dreams really said, ah, he sucks. He's no longer the, you know, the Jordan of the 90s. They go, he's lost a step, but I'm still going to watch him. I still want to see this happen. Oh man, I wish he would have retired, you know, on that last shot, whatever it is, let the fans decide. Brett Favre. I mean, we could go down the line.
Sure.
When you get into movies, you see Morgan Freeman and you go, oh my God, does he actually, I didn't think he'd become a better actor, but he is. Cause he's, you know, Sylvester Stallone. And I'm not saying we could come up with 20 or 30 movie stars, but as they get a little bit older and a little bit more defined, and you know that Tom Cruise or Morgan Freeman, they've had 4 or 5 runaway blockbuster hits. Oh man. Then they had 3 or 4 movies that were really bad, but oh my God, he returned into this movie. You gotta see it. I think there's such an emotional attachment when you see your favorite actor or actress who might've had a few stinkers, but then all of a sudden they're up for the Academy Award and you go, God, I hope he wins just because this might be his last shot at winning that award. It, again, going back to our original, it's that emotional attachment.
Which begs the question here. Have you had your last match?
No. I mean, because I've never, you know, some of the, we'll call them old timers / veterans or nostalgiacs. I'm done. I'm retired. Now, come on.
Hold yeah, right.
Yeah. Let's just pump the brakes.
Yeah.
We're going to go on our 4th retirement tour.
No. Yeah, Terry Funk retired a couple of times.
I'm not going there. but no. The thing is, you know, during the pandemic, not that I was out of shape, but I feel I'm in better shape than I've been in a long, long time, really due to the pandemic, because I can work out twice a day and that kind of stuff. So, but no, I don't believe I've had my last match.
Well, then I look forward to seeing the next one and the ones to come after that. Before we go.
I didn't say matches. I just said.
Oh, okay. before we go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and let's get another plug in from My World, which just somehow manages to get, you talked about Morgan Freeman, go, oh man, he's getting better and better. My World every single week has gotten better and better and better. I feel like that relationship between you and Conrad, as you get more comfortable in this platform, it's just getting better and better, and it started out with a bang. So where can everybody find you and your show?
I appreciate the compliments. And you know, I can't finish this interview with Conrad. His, like, we were buddies, and it's funny. He tells the story. The first time we met was when I went on stage with something to wrestle with and sang, excuse me, with my baby tonight, which was a lot of fun. But our relationship has grown and all that. And he's like, Jeff, wait till we really hit our stride. And I'm like, that's interesting for him to say, because we've got a good rapport and I respect his cadence and his storytelling. And it's up to him to come up with the topics. That's the agreement we made. You pick the topic, I'll roll with it. So it's been a lot of fun, but I appreciate the compliments. But as far as social media, man, Josh, I don't think my guys, my team could have made it any easier, because it's all at Real Jeff Jarrett, or we launched a website at the same time we launched the podcast, and that's realjeffjarrett.com. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Real Jeff Jarrett, and the website realjeffjarrett.com. And if you want, I'll have you spell it, not me.
Well, it is, as I've said before, a name that I can spell easier than my own. Because as a kid, it was ingrained in me. If there is no name in this world that I can spell but one, it's JeffJarrett. And Double J, Jeff Jarrett, was our guest here. My World over at adfreeshows.com. Check it out today. Jeff Jarrett, thank you so much.
I appreciate you having me on, and love fight, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We
the
love
best place in the world.
Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it, Josh.
Thank you.